Mentioned before, we are going to continue to have a Bible reading on Sunday mornings. And so I won't be announcing it every time. We may just have people come up here to read, but it'll be our today's reading. So today's reading is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Leanne will be reading that, but let me just open up real quick in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we venture into your word, may we not do so nonchalantly with a flippant attitude. Help us, God, with sobriety. Enter in with ears to hear and hearts to obey your word. So lead us into your truth in Jesus' name. Amen.
After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Members came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This is another name for, yeah. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are the powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple honor your name. They said, whatever you are faced with, and calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You do not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So you went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking for you to help." As all men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benajah, son of Jeel, son of Mataniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. For so many of us, that's kind of like the prayer of our lives. And it's our church's tradition to begin every year with a state of the church address. And that's what we are going to be doing today. So I will do the first portion, Bob is the second, and we'll share the third. So the first portion is, where have we been? I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to remember what I did yesterday. You know, sometimes at night, I'm thinking, what did I do today? You know, it can be rough. So when you start thinking, well, what happened last year, it can get a little fuzzy up there. So we're going to remind ourselves what we did, what God did last year, and really appropriately give him thanks and praise for that. And maybe a little bit of slapping it on the back. Do that. Okay, so we're going to do that first. And then we're going to get a grasp on where we are right now. As a church, where do things stand now? Bob will do that. But of course, we're all looking forward to, like, what's going to happen, you know? What are our hopes and dreams? What are our aspirations? That, to keep you around, we kept that for the last. That's last. Guys, pray with me. Lord Jesus, here we stand before you with the state of the church address. Lord, it's really the state of how you have worked in our midst. It is basically a testimony of your will, your work, your ways in our lives. And I want to thank you, God, that we do this. I've never been a part of a church that's done this as consistently as we do. To give ourselves a handle on where things are at and what have you been doing. It's just so easy to go from one day to the next, from one week to the next, from one month to the next, and you just go on. But on this day, at this moment, we want to pause and we want to assess the situation. And that's what we're doing. So God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Where have we been? Well, believe it or not, we actually had a portion of scripture that we were trusting in. We thought, hey, this is something we could believe the Lord for. This is an anchor for us and our church for this coming year. This was 2022, okay? So go back to January of last year, and that verse was this in Isaiah 37:31. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Remember that? Does anybody remember kind of maybe sort of that verse being thrown out? The reason is because we were feeling led to lead the whole church in reading the entire Bible in a year. And we wanted to take our roots downward. We want to take root downward. And then trusting that as we firmly plant ourselves on the rock, You know, the rock is the words of God. The words of Christ specifically is when he was talking about the rock. You want to build our lives on the rock. We want to take root downward. And as we anchor ourselves in God's word, God will bless and we will grow, we'll mature, we'll become more effective in reaching people, and we will bear fruit. He doesn't give us a timetable on that. Some things grow quickly, some things grow slowly, but we're trusting God for fruit nonetheless. This is the way the NLT put that verse. And you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will put roots down in your own soil and grow up and flourish. So it's not like they're in a place of strength. Things were happening that were negative, difficult. You could even apply this even thinking about your own life personally. I've had a hard road to hoe in my life. You could be saying that to yourself. I could say that to myself. It's not that hard comparatively, but you could say that. Or you could just say, it's been rough for me. I'm in a tough patch. You're in some desert years. That happens. That happens in a Christian's life when you are in a desert time of your life. Things are dry. Your relationship with the Lord is dry. You feel like you're getting nothing from no one, nowhere. All right? That happens. That's where these guys were at, and that's where this promise comes in, that they're going to bear, or they're going to take root downward and bear fruit upward. So our plan in 2022 was to have the entire church, all of Lifehouse, immerse itself in the Word of God together. And we invested in buying one-year Bibles for everybody. We had to buy several more because a bunch of people would come and visit and say, can I have me one of those? And we were just giving them away. So we bought quite a few Bibles. And so we passed them out. And we weren't just going to say, okay, here's your Bible, go home and read it every day for the year. Let us know how it goes. We didn't do that. We said, if we're going to do this, let's do this. And so we were going to do everything together. Every event that we had was going to involve going through the one-year Bible. So we read it on Sunday mornings. We taught it on Sunday mornings. Whatever we were introduced to that week, that was our fuel for our message. We read and discussed it in all of our Bible studies, like the noon study. We read it and discussed it in our life groups. We read it and discussed it in your quiet times, especially if you had quiet times with other people, Jay and I, and we have quiet times together. That's what we read. And we were encouraging you guys to memorize key verses and sharing with one another, because we're all reading the same thing at the same time. So we had a place to begin to connect. And we even said that if you were to do this, we would pay your way to Fusion. And we had a number of you guys take you up on that. Who here actually read the Bible from cover to cover? We got, Jay, you did? My goodness, Brad? Wow, you guys rock and roll. I am impressed. Not an easy accomplishment. I honor you guys who did that. I honor you. And really, for all of us who tried, like I told the men yesterday, when I get to heaven, God's going to look at me and he says, well, you tried. For those of us who tried, that was also an honor there. Because if you didn't have the one-year Bible and you weren't being encouraged to do so, how many of you would have read what you did read? Probably not much. So, I honor you guys who were not able to read it every single day of the year. But you tried. That's an accomplishment. Good job to all of you. But as you all know, that's not all that we did. Sit around and read the Bible. We could, but that's not all that we did. To help you get a grasp on all that we did, in 2022, I have a slideshow. Now, each slide only comes up for 3 seconds by design of the program. So soak it in quick. Soak it in quick. Here we go. So go ahead and get that music started.
That is fun. That is fun. Yeah, I didn't, mine didn't have music, what you sent to me. I just hummed to it. Yeah. If you don't have it, make your own. Yeah, that's good. Well, so this is where we're at. Some people call it the nickels and noses account here. How many people and so on. And I don't do this every Sunday, but many Sundays I go home and I have this little Excel thing of a list of lots of folks that have been here. And I just put a one in a box if, yep, they were there. Yep, they were there. They were there. And then on the next column over is they weren't there, you know. We would expect them to be there and so forth. And over the, I don't do it every week, but our attendance has been 31, 21, 27, 26, 45 at the Friends Invite Sunday. 45. Good job. And, you know, like any any church, you know, we have had our losses, and one really was that Mike and Becky weren't able to be with us as much as they would have wanted to been. Mike had illness almost the entire summer, and then Becky had a shoulder surgery, and her recovery was pretty involved, therapy, they call it. And it went longer than she expected. And then we lost Amy Skillings also. She may be back. I was happened to be on my doorstep one day, and a UPS truck came by, stopped, opened the door. Amy said, "Hi, Bob," and they closed the door and drove on. You know, we're still friends. Yeah, so that's cool. But we have had our gains too, and we rejoice in this. You know, we've doubled our number of young couples. You know, we had Luke and Melissa and Devin and Nina. Now we have two more, Dale and Natalie, and Aunt and Bethany have joined those ranks. And that's such a pleasant thing. We should keep it in mind. We've doubled our infants to six-year-olds, doubled them. We only had two. Now we have four with Rika and Jubilee. That's great. Savannah has rejoined us in heart and presence. Not this morning, but that's been a relief, a blessing. It makes you feel like, oh, God, you are at work. It's really a big thing. The noon study has grown in numbers, I'm hearing. That's wonderful. And now in 1 John, or in the letters to John, I'm understanding. And then there's been a new Bible study group that has formed. Ariana's in it. Emmy, are you in that? Are you on Tuesday nights? Yeah, and so that's with Bethany. And it's just an organic thing. It's wonderful. Two more men attended Edge. Dale and Wayne both went to Edge this fall. You saw a picture there of Wayne at Edge. And Dale had a particularly meaningful time there. So praise the Lord for those things. And then I wanted to report on our finances. We ended the fiscal year last year $12,000 behind our goal. But it was a fairly lofty goal. And, you know, a lot of different factors happen. You never know. We make our goals. God had been bringing us up every single year. We thought, well, let's not limit him. So we had pretty lofty goals. So maybe it's not a big surprise. This year, we've lowered the goal a fair amount, and we are $7,000 behind that goal. So, hey, that's just the report. That's where we are. Our bank account is still okay. We're able to function. We made some adjustments last year. Tim and I attended a pastor's health network thing, and it was fairly costly. Well, we just won't do that every year. We're not going to go this year. So we made our adjustments. But I'm going to save another comment for our offering time this morning, but where, you know, our finances, nobody has anything that God has not provided. And it's true of a church. So let him provide. We ask him to provide. That's just the report of where we're at. It's we're not as far ahead as we thought we might be. Not worried. We have enough to get by. So, where we want to be.
Thank you, Bob. As you guys know, it's often said that life is like a set of railroad tracks. That at the same time something good is going on, God is working on people's lives and changing people's lives, there's something that's difficult, challenging, that's going on simultaneously. So much of life is like that. It's to be expected. It keeps us walking by faith and not by sight. Okay, so, but where do we want to be? Well, as I was thinking about this in light of Fusion, and even in light of last Sunday's events, as people came up here and gave a Fusion report, what God had been challenging them on, there was a repetition of some ideas that really kind of caught me off guard. And so the following week, I sat at the Lord's feet and I said, "Lord, are you trying to tell me something here?" Let me explain. We looked at the The Old Testament character Jehoshaphat was the first character we looked at Fusion, was Jehoshaphat. And in 2 Chronicles 20, 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4, that Leanne read, says this, I read it for you again, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, and this is the news of Jerusalem being surrounded by a huge army, I mean, imposing army. He was terrified by the news, and he begged the Lord, begged him, like he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. I trust you get the idea of what's going on there. There's a situation that is overwhelming, that's in a sense impossible for them to resolve on their own, and they are getting desperate for God to act. And so they are praying. And as I thought about that situation, and I thought about us being on year 13 here at Decorah, Iowa, 13, and for a good while we had 13 people here. I was like, Lord, I'm thinking we're going in the wrong direction. I think we have now 18 of us here. And putting all these pieces together, I sensed, and Bob seems to be affirming here, that this, instead of the year that we read the word, this would be the year that we seek the Lord, that we are asking. I called it in my notes here, I called it the year of the ask, that we're going to ask God, because honestly, we tried, again, my theme of my life, but we tried the church planting techniques. We went through a whole manual. We read what we were supposed to do, and by Jove, we did it. And we grew up to about 50, maybe even 60 on a good day, and then went right back down. And here we are entering year 13, and it's like, well, I suppose we could try the same things and expect different results. Or we could amp up something that we've kind of been dabbling in, but not with the level of desperation that I saw and I see and I read in Jehoshaphat and his countrymen. They were desperate. They begged the Lord. They fasted even. They all came together and they sought the Lord. And so this is the year of the ask for Lifehouse Church. The second teaching dealt with the Old Testament character Nehemiah. Maybe that was the third teaching. Was it?
Third
teaching was Nehemiah. And there was Bill Young's points was that difference makers care about the things that God cares about. Okay? So piecing this together with me, guys, I'm sensing that God wants us to get more desperate in asking God for what we want him to do. What do we want him to do? Lord, you know, I remember a year back in the 80s when there was a very famous preacher who locked himself up in his prayer tower until he got $1 million or something like that. Remember that?
Yeah.
We will not say his name. But he did that, and he locked himself up there, and he was going to starve himself to death until somebody gave him $1 million. He got $1 million. He asked. And I think that was Bill Young's point. He's like, yes, you got to ask. You have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask, and what happens after you ask? Oh, ask and you will receive, and that's it, right? You'll just get it, and then you'll go home and... What? Your joy will be complete. Guys, that's a pretty good verse. Maybe we should make that. I like that verse, actually. I'm starting to think that's a good verse. Okay, so what are we asking for? I wanted to share with you some of the things that are on my heart. This is not necessarily from the Lord. This is from Tim, but it could be from the Lord. And then Bob is going to share some things that he's asking for. Okay, so these are my asks. Are you ready? One of the first things we've noticed when we came here, it did not take very long, but we noticed it quite quickly, is that this is a needy community that the community doesn't want anybody to know has needs. And so we began to be approached by a lot of people with needs, financial needs, and a lot of your basic needs like housing, homeless people. Even just recently, I had a homeless lady living in the basement of my store because there was no place else for her to go. Let that sink in. And that's been that way since we got here. And there's no sign of it changing. And so it continues to eat at me that we, Decorah, the churches of Decorah, have not made it a priority, financially or otherwise, to have a homeless shelter. And so one of my asks this year is to start a homeless shelter? And I go, do I really want to ask for that? It would require more than what I've got, that's for sure. I mean, I feel like Jehoshaphat and we're surrounded by this huge army. Like, what am I saying? But that's one of my asks for a homeless shelter. My first step, just to let you guys know, is to write a letter to our city manager and share my heart, share my interest, and find out what kind of rules and regulations and restrictions and permissions one might need to do something like that. So you'd be praying for this upcoming letter to the city manager. That's one of my asks. Another one is just, I don't know where these numbers come from. It just popped into my head. I wanted to ask the Lord that 12 people would come to faith. Just 12. One a month, I guess. 12 disciples, I suppose. Wherever it came from, it popped into my head. 12. I just wanted to trust the Lord for 12 people to come to faith in Christ. Now, you might think, well, that's not very significant. How many did we see come to faith last year? Okay, 0 from actually Decorah, but we did see Stephen, right? Stephen, and then I saw a picture of them when we were in Florida last year, and I was at Florida State or wherever that. We saw a guy there. So 2, but not from Decorah. Not that could be a part of our church. There we had 0. But at least the Lord used us in reaching 2 people. 12. 12 souls. I'd like to trust the Lord for that. That's one of my asks. My last ask. Get these ideas. Double the size of Lifehouse Church. So if you just take what we got today, 18, that would give us what would be doubling. I know. Just wanting them to say it. 36. 36. Guys, believe it or not, to go from 18 to 36, you feel like there's something going on here. You feel like God is on the move here. I would like to believe the Lord to double our size. By Christians that are not committed, by people moving here, by whatever means the Lord has in mind, for sure, 12. 12 salvations that could become a part of our church family. Those are the 3 asks that are on my heart, and now maybe on yours as well.
Yeah, so I want to add just one thing. And by the way, I mentioned Stephen. The reason Aunt and Bethany aren't here today is that Stephen's getting baptized back there in Platteville. And so there, or Lancaster? No, Platteville, I think. Well, I think, I don't know, one of those, whichever one there. Yeah. And so Praise the Lord. He's following in obedience. I wanted to introduce my one little thing with an illustration. On December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor was bombed. And about 60 years later, September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Centers were attacked. In both of those situations, there was an immediate and universal response in our nation of patriotism, of defense of our nation. And this was not scripted that Tim would read what he read at the beginning there about the St. Crispin's Day address. But yesterday we had a men's event, and we were led to a discussion that led to a vision of a band of brothers. It's not new, but I've thought about it many, many times, of having a band of brothers. And another thing that came out of that, yeah, okay, wonderful. What's a band of brothers? What is it for? Well, it usually encompasses a defense, usually encompasses something that we need to defend. And as I have thought about this, I would suggest that the enemy that we're under attack from is the enemy of idolatry. And the defense that this band of brothers would defend is a simple and pure devotion to Christ. I can't get into it deeply this morning. We're supposed to be short here, but please pray that our men would join together to defend a simple and pure devotion to Christ. There's going to be a lot more said about through the year. I am pretty confident that it's going to come up in quite a few messages, but that's what we're aiming at. This is not to say that our women are not important. It's not to say that our women shouldn't do the same thing. What it is saying is that it would be helpful to our women if our men would model this. We know what we're about. We know what we're against. We know whom we are against, and we know what we're defending. So just pray that our men would become a band of brothers. We'd feel like it, and we'd act like it, of simple and pure devotion to Christ. And we'll let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks. My ask is that you would ask the Lord for our men to become a band of brothers defending a simple and pure walk with Christ. Yeah.
Okay, those are our asks. I'm just going to share a few other things that are on our minds for this year. And then, with whatever time we have remaining, we're going to form small groups and we're going to ask. So, what else will we be doing? Okay, so first of all, just like with the one-year Bible, and we immersed our whole church in reading the Word, we would like to immerse the church in asking God for the things that are on his heart, the things that he wants to do. So, every meeting, every quiet time, every chance we get, we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. We'll pray apart. But we're going to be praying. We would love to see an increase in participation with our all-church prayer meetings, which have been a far cry from being all the church. We call it that because everybody is welcome and wanted and invited. And that will be the first Thursday of every month. Right, Bob? First Thursday of every month. It's a call to this church to come together and pray. And I'm sure Bob and I will come up with some unique ways and maybe powerful ways to help us engage in prayer before our great God and King. Okay? So, we're going to pray every chance we get. Whenever you're together, make that a focus or an emphasis. But of course, that's not all we're doing. What else are we doing? Well, on Sunday mornings, for our messages, we're thinking about doing a teaching that we're calling a series of teachings called The Doctrines of the Heart. Doctrines of the Heart. There was a teaching series given many years ago by Jim McCotter called what was the actual title of that? With All My Love, God. And then Mark Darling did one that was kind of spawned from that, and it was called the Inexhaustible. No, Something, the amazing love of God. Yeah. It's a love of God series. Basically, it's a series of teachings on the love of God that were so profound they transformed Mark Darling's life and has transformed many other people's lives. So it's doctrines of the heart. So we're talking about things like love. We're talking about things like forgiveness, unity, things that involve the emotional component of your life. And so that's what we are at least starting this year off with. Also, as you guys know, the Thursdays nights here, Lot class, Lifehouse on Thursdays, Lot class, we're going through a series of videos on creation. And these are videos that I have collected over the years that I found meaningful, helpful, significant, and I'm passing them on to you. So the whole creation evolution issue isn't just a scientific issue. Really, because of the prevailing view of evolution or naturalism, it actually erodes our confidence that there really is a God, that the scriptures really are trustworthy. It causes us to, even in small ways, call into question the validity of the word, and of the church. So this creation teaching series will be fortifying, cementing the foundation that our lives are built on, that God's word is true and accurate, starting with the very first verse. So that's the goal there. Otherwise, guys, you know, we gotta keep our hands to the plow and do the things that we've done before, but except for maybe do garbage detail at the fair. We've pretty much told them that's a bit much for us to do anymore. Otherwise, we plan on being involved in the fair and in the Nordic Fest parade and stuff of that nature. Okay, so that's just kind of the handle on what's got going on for this year. That's what we're believing the Lord for. So what time do we have? 12:45? How can that be so fast? Your watch is wrong. Guys, put your head together with two or three other people right now and personally begin the process of bombarding heaven with these asks that Bob and I have shared with you, and really any of your own. Okay? Yeah.